Good. Well, welcome, as I say, celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But for us, we've got to be honest, for you and I, we live in the celebration of the death and the resurrection of Jesus every day of our lives. That's our reality. We don't have a special day. We live in the truth of that, and that's the joy and the life that we live. So it's great. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. Father, again this morning, we want to come and just to celebrate your incredible goodness, how you've reached out and how you have done everything for us. And we think back and we realize that 99.999%, it's all of you. Our little point percentage is receiving from you and just walking in that truth, walking in the life of your Spirit, and just living from the inside out. And we want to thank you, Father, for your grace. We want to thank you how you have reconciled us through your Son, how you have brought us into life. You have brought us into the reality of being your children, and what it is to be loved by you, our Father, what it is to have a Heavenly Father, to have a brother, our Lord Jesus Christ, what it is, the joy of having the Holy Spirit as a helper, as a friend, as a comforter, as one who leads and teaches us. And so, how can we lose? You're just too good for us, Lord, and we want to thank you, as we've been speaking all the time, as that catchphrase, no, it's too good to be true. Your gospel to mankind is so good, Lord God, and we want to thank you, Father, for that. So today, we sit with you, Father, again, just engaging with you, just celebrating life together as your family, hearing what you are sharing with us and where you're taking us, and the joy in your heart as you see us responding, as you see us getting the breakthroughs, as we simply believe, as you just see us, see how the power of your Holy Spirit is working in us, enabling us to go beyond what we've dreamt, go beyond what we've imagined, because of your power that's at work within us. We want to thank you for that. So thank you for your gift of your Holy Spirit in our lives. As we just hear what you're sharing with us today, and this is all because of your Son Jesus, what he has done in laying down his life, so that through him we are a new creation. Through him we have experienced the reality of your good news. We give you the praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Good. This way. Okay, guys. I think everybody's on there. Yeah. I'm going to start off. I'm trusting that this is going to be a time where you will share the incredible, the wow moments that I have been experiencing. As God has been just revealing his good news to us. And but I want to start off before we go to Romans and then into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about the incredible glory of the new covenant. I want us just to start off here in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's that prayer that Paul prays, because this is such the revelation of the love of Christ is so fundamental in moving into the fullness of all that the good news of God entails. And that, remember, it's God, the definition of the good news is God's goodness, okay, and it's far bigger and far more glorious than our human definition. And so I want us to capture something of the heart of God. And that, because not a lot of people will battle to walk into the fullness that God has for us through his Son Jesus, simply because we don't believe God is good because of life. You know, the life dictates our experience of who God is, instead of God revealing his goodness to enable us to go through life's experiences with the revelation of His goodness. And somehow we try and define God from our experience of how good God is, whether He's good or not good, and that. And so that's why a revelation of God's goodness is very important. And so Paul is praying, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And this is you and I this morning. This is, we have a Heavenly Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that the Spirit will open that up to all of us, because I don't yet have the depth of the revelation of that truth yet. It's pretty deep there. And verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. This is an incredible prayer that Paul is praying, that out of His glorious riches, so we're speaking about this incredible goodness of God. He's speaking about our Father that is so generous, so big, so perfect in goodness, so perfect in kindness, so perfect in mercy, in every aspect of God's, of who He is. This is what he's praying, that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And many, and we all are experiencing this truth, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And right at the end of verse 19, that so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that's what that verse is speaking about over there. So that Christ, so the fullness of Christ, who He is, may be very real in our lives. We may live in the reality of the fullness of God, dwelling in our hearts through faith, simply believing the fullness of God that dwells within us. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, this is not something that's going to happen. This is a fact. This is for every believer, whether we are backslidden, whether we are on fire for God. This is the truth. So that Christ may, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The purpose of all of us, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now verse 20, now to Him, this is our Heavenly Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the reason why in verse 21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, it's not that the glory of God is not in Christ Jesus. No, Yaris, the oneness is expressing the reality that the body of Christ, just as the glory of God is in His Son Jesus, so likewise in us as His children, the family of God, the same glory of God is within the children of God. And that's what he's speaking about. And for us now to grow into the fullness of that, based on the revelation of how much our Lord Jesus Christ loves us. So I'm starting with this, and we're going to come back to this all the time, in and out all the time, because here we see the incredible ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we've been looking in Romans, the law of the Spirit who gives life. Now here in this prayer, here is a revelation of that life of the Spirit within us, the fruit of that life, the impact of that life of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit is busy doing in every single believer. And we want to grow in that and develop in that. And so here in Romans chapter 6, in the journey, and we've been going back all the time from Romans chapter 1 right through, we continually just going on this journey, because it's important for us to see the initiative of God, the good news of God. What is this good news, and how in every step, how God himself has been involved in it all, and it's been his initiative. That's why it's the grace is a gift, the faith is a gift, the righteousness is a gift. Everything is from our Heavenly Father out of his glorious riches, and the goodness of God involved in our lives all the time. And we see our part as he gave us the gift of faith. We just simply believed. And in the simply believing over there, we received all this incredible reality of the good news, what this gospel of God is all about, that is in and through his son, Jesus Christ. And we found an incredible shift taking place in our lives when we got born again. And so, in a sense, for many of us, we are rediscovering that freedom that we first had when we first believed. And we're finding that we are being set free from so much other stuff that we've placed upon ourselves, or we haven't had the truth really revealed to us, and so we've been battling in our Christian life in just walking with God and living in the truth of Jesus. And so we've looked at the fact of Christ's death and how we have been united. And so in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And we were just chatting this with someone yesterday, the good news of God, because you and I will find out that many times we have forgotten that how to live, or we have forgotten what it was like when we were not saved, because we've been walking with God for a while. We have forgotten the realities of people that are still caught up in a religious setup there and living from the outside, trying to improve the inside of their lives, trying to change their hearts from the outside, reading the Ten Commandments and saying, okay, that's who I should be. Let me go and try and make myself and do whatever I need to do so that I can live up to those Ten Commandments. Sometimes we have forgotten the trauma, we have forgotten the battle, we have forgotten the mental, the battle of the mind in all of this there, and the feeling of guilt and condemnation and the feeling of not good enough and that. But many folk, many believers that we minister to are still in that reality. And that is why, we need to be able to share the good news to many people, as we ourselves are finding more and more freedom as we walk with God. And so, but here we see, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death. Again, here's the purpose, in order, the reason for all of this, that in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this is the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is like the gateway into freedom. It's the gateway into this new life. And that's why the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is such an important truth for us to by faith receive, and then to begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in bringing this new life into the reality. And I want to just for a moment today just focus a little bit on what is this new life. There's a lot there, but today is just an introduction in a sense, just to help us a little bit over there, so that we too may live a new life. And again, we carry on there. It carries on there in verse throughout Romans chapter 6 over there, and then in verse 8 over there. Now, if we died, it's not a maybe, this is a fact. He's saying, guys, this is a fact. Because we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, not in the future. This is a now reality. This is that we too may live a new life. See, this living is a lifestyle of the now reality that will blow up like crazy in the future when we leave this planet Earth and move into the new heavens and the new earth reality. But here we see this incredible truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And that is why what he says over here is so important. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. This is our reality as well. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this is the simple faith reality. To be able to take what God is sharing with us over here, his good news of what has taken place through his son Jesus Christ for all of us who believe. This is our starting point. This is our we live from this place onwards. And so, you know, the parable of the sower is such an incredible insight on how this new life operates, how we live in the newness of life. See, this new life is in the realm of the Holy Spirit. We've been taken out of the realm of Adam. We've been taken out of being in that realm of the flesh, in that realm of the sinful nature. We've been taken out of the consequences of that realm. We've been taken out of the consequences of the power of sin, of how the sinful nature has grabbed us. We've been removed from that. We've been taken out of that in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And now we've been placed into another realm. And that is the realm of the Holy Spirit. It's the realm of being in Christ Jesus. And this is the life that you and I live. Okay? And so here we see that the importance of this, because in the parable of the sower, we see how this realm operates, how the Holy Spirit releases a truth and helps us to understand a truth. But there's that incredible journey for that truth to become a reality, to bear the fruit. That's how it operates. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. That's how it works in this realm. And that is why it is so important in verse 11 there, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is now truth that everything will try and attack that. The worries of life will try and say the opposite. Circumstances will try and say the opposite. Our feelings will dictate to say, no, that's the opposite. We may fall into sin and that's going to shout, no, it's not true. It's not true, because look how you've fallen. Look how you've had an argument. Look how you've done this. And all of that stuff will be trying to contradict this truth. But the one who perseveres and takes this truth, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, to count, Lord, that old nature, that old Adamic power, that old consequence of that, I've died to that. But not only that, in your resurrection, I've been raised with you into this new life. That's my living place. I live from this realm of the Spirit of God. I live in this newness of life in you, Jesus. That's my place. That's where I stay. That's where I live. That's where everything about my life is positioned, in that place. You see, and that we've got to, because then what happens in that parable of the sower, what happens eventually, there is a fruit. And because it's established, it's in us. We're living from the inside out from this truth. It's no longer something that we read from the outside. This is in our hearts. This is written on the hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that is why this is so important. And so in chapter 7, we looked at that, and this is where we ended up last Sunday. But here in chapter 7, we read over here about the law and how we've been released from the authority of the law. And we're going to take it in the context, for instance, for us right now as the Ten Commandments, because of the context of South African church people. Remember, Paul is speaking here to believers, not to unbelievers over here. So he's speaking about believers that are that know the Torah, that know the law, that know the Ten Commandments, that know these things, and understand the Jewish way of life and everything like that. And so Paul is addressing that, and he's also the general principle of law, etc., that we looked at a few weeks back. But he goes on and he says in verse 4, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ." So in the death of Jesus, you and I have identified, we are united in his death. So just as Christ was born under the law to free us from the curse of the law, because remember, if you don't obey the law, you're cursed, condemnation, the wages of sin is death. Christ now has freed us from that consequences. He's freed us from the authority of that law, of the law. We freed of that in Jesus because he did it for us. And the requirements of the law have been fully met in us because it's a gift from our Lord Jesus, that gift of righteousness we have received. So it's fully met in us as believers, only those who believe, okay, not for the unbeliever, because as Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes will have eternal life, will not be condemned. But those who do not believe will be condemned. They already are in condemnation. Okay. And so that we're speaking now to you and I as believers. You and I that are living in this new realm of the Holy Spirit. You and I that have been raised into this newness of life. This newness of life is a life that we haven't experienced before. It is totally new. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we see there in verse 17, where we see that in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's this reality of now in the resurrection of Jesus, we've stepped into that newness of life. That's the way we think. That's the way we interpret circumstances. That's the way we evaluate all that's taking place around us. That's our vision. That's our eyes. That's our mind. That's our heart. And so we see things from being in this new realm in the Spirit of God. That's the way we look at life. That's the way we understand life. Okay. In that is freedom. Tremendous freedom. And this is what our Father wants us to grow and to experience, is the freedom that comes with this good news. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And that is what this is all about over there. And that's why I'm just repeating myself, because today our Heavenly Father wants us to begin to get the breakthrough of living in a freedom that is beyond our imagination, that's beyond our requests, that's beyond what we can even comprehend. And that's the exciting journey that he's taking us on now in this reality of freedom. And that's why all the time, the freedom only comes when you and I recognize and accept by simple faith that we have died with Christ, we have raised with him. Because there in the death and resurrection of Jesus is the power of God for salvation. Salvation is that total deliverance, total freedom from taking us out of the consequences of sin and into the reality of Christ Jesus, what he has done, and living in that place. Okay. And that, and as I said, everything will try and confuse us to say, it's too good to be true. It's impossible. What about this? What about that? And all this kind of stuff there. And that's why you and I have got a choice to make, is simply believe or not. You and I can accept this truth or not. Accept this truth, then the freedom starts to become a reality. If you have to argue against this truth, you will argue and stay and battle all the rest of your life, because the righteous will live by faith. Okay. It's as simple as that. And that, you know, one of the things I find in counseling Christians, virtually everyone that I'm dealing with is caught up with religious faith, and the depression and everything is so, the lives are so messed up over there because there's a religious faith. And they don't know this freedom. They don't know what it is to live in another realm, to live in the realm of the Spirit. They're still trying to be a Christian, but living in the realm of this world, living in the realm of the of sort of the flesh, because they haven't yet experienced the power of of God in breaking that power of sin and to be able to live a free life from all those things, which includes dark thoughts, which includes the battle of the mind. All that is part of the old, the consequences of sin. And many don't know the freedom. And so you and I have the journey, but we also have a message as we minister and help many people that are in our lives to be able to experience the freedom. And so Paul carries on and he speaks over here and he says over here, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another. That's that union. If you abide in him, you'll bear much fruit. This is the oneness in his death and resurrection. This is being married to Jesus, no longer married to the law. We might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. What's the resurrection? What's the death and resurrection all about? In order that we might bear fruit for God. This is now we stepped into this realm of this new life we bear fruit for God. What is this fruit? See, what is this fruit? We normally get stuck to the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, because that's our new nature and we partake in that new nature. But there's far more to this reality of this newness of life. There's far more to what this fruit is all about. And God wants to just open something up over here today. And it carries on. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us. Okay, that's not us anymore. That's the unsaved person. We're no longer in that realm. We've entered in. The old has gone. Okay, important to renew our mind to this. Important to get into agreement with this, to experience the power of the gospel in breaking the power of sin over our lives, breaking the power of those memories, breaking the power of past experiences, breaking all the authority that all our old has over our lives, freeing us from that authority that the old past has over our lives so that we can live into the new life. It's important to get into agreement with truth. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. That's not us anymore. Okay, we now have been raised with Christ in order to bear fruit for God. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, let me just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This scripture, this chapter 3, may the Holy Spirit give such revelation to this, because this is key for us right now. Here is the truth in this chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians that is vital for us to receive in our journey of this new life. Okay, and so Paul is writing to the body of Christ, to the family of God, and he says over there in verse 2, you yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Who untouched that dead, because that's such an important truth there in this union and this oneness. Now verse 3, you show that you are a letter from Christ. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And he carries on in verse 6, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. First of all, let's just go back to verse 3. You show that you are a letter. What is a letter? A letter is expressing the thoughts of the writer. The letter contains what is in the mind, in the heart, in the feelings, in the very person that's actually writing the letter. Who is the author of this letter? Christ Jesus. Who is the author of this letter? Okay? You and I. You and I. We've got to understand what the Spirit is saying to us over here. You are a letter. We are a letter from Christ as a result of their ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The letter that was written on the stone, you have to read from the outside. And so everybody under the old covenant that came through Moses, they read the Ten Commandments, for instance, from the outside. And they tried to live their lives in obedience to that law. However, the new covenant is totally different. Because now, the good news, the gospel of God, that is in him through his son, Jesus Christ, we have this incredible truth that Jesus himself, in who he is, what he has done, everything about Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the author, and by the Holy Spirit writes the fullness of Jesus upon our hearts. So you and I tell, Jesus tells his story. He writes his story on our hearts. And we live out his story here on earth. Now let me ask a question. How big is his story? How awesome is his story? What is Jesus writing by the Spirit onto our hearts? Not that we can read about it from the outside, but it's an inside reality. Remember that prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, by the power of God, that the revelation of Christ dwelling in our hearts, so that the revelation of his love, so that we may live in the fullness of God. See, Jesus' story is about the fullness of God in our hearts. Jesus is writing that story for you and I. What limitations are we placing on our lives? What limitations do we have in our minds about living this life in Christ Jesus? Today, this breakthrough day, because God is, by the Holy Spirit, is helping us to receive that our Lord Jesus, he's raised from the dead, his glorious place, who he is, all authority, all power, name above every other name. In him we live and move and have our being. All things were created through him, for him, out of him, everything that Jesus, our brother, our savior, our redeemer, he himself is writing by the Spirit of God his story onto our hearts, so that you and I can live out of that story in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in Christ, the old has gone. In Christ, the power of sin is broken, so that now we are able to live this incredible life, as Paul prays in, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to the Holy Spirit, according to the power of God that is at work, not will be working, that is at work already at work every single moment of our lives, continually at work within us who believe. This is where we're moving. This is the freedom that we're going on. And so today, God is helping us to be released from the barriers that we have placed upon our lives. He's releasing us from the limitations that we have placed, or other people have placed, or society has placed, or the laws of this, or of the country, whatever the case may be, have placed over our lives, so that in this newness of life, in this realm of the Holy Spirit, in the realm where the Spirit of life is operating within us, the Spirit of God is writing the very letter, is writing the very story, is writing the very thoughts of God, is writing the very emotions of God, is writing the very plans and ideas and the nature of God. Everything about God is being expressed through the author, Jesus Christ, who is the author of our faith, through Him, because the gospel is through Jesus, it's all about Him. He is busy writing that by the Spirit onto our hearts, so that now we live from the inside out from what He has written on our hearts. Will you allow, will you yield and say, Holy Spirit, here I am, thank you. Simply receive this. Will you simply just receive today, Lord, you are writing on my heart your story. Here I am. By your power at work within me, I say yes to this. That's why back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. See, this is the same reality. This is how the parable of the sower works. A truth gets released to you and I, and now we receive that by faith. Simple believing it, and we just continue. So when everything comes our way there, we stand solid onto this truth. And that's the fact today. Jesus, you're the writer of my heart. I'm your letter. And I want people to see how glorious you are. And I just yield and I just say, yes, write your story on my heart. Write your story not only on my heart, but Lord, write your story in the family of God upon their heart, so that for the whole body of Christ in our nation and the nations will be able to live, so that people can read and understand and get a glimpse on the revelation of the author who's writing his story on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he carries on over there, because, you see, he goes on there. Now, if the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory though it was, would not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Can you see, because remember that when the ministry of the law came through Moses, the law is righteous, the law is holy, it's God's righteous standard, it's from God, and it's always good from God there, but it could not do its effect because it was weakened because of the power of sin within us, okay? And so Moses had the glory on his face. It's an outward reality. How much more glorious is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's riding on the heart, an inward glory. And we're living from that place of this inward glory that gives life, that lasts, that's eternal. It's an everlasting righteousness. See, that's the new covenant. That's our reality. And it's the ministry of the Spirit that brings life. And it carries on over there. You can't compare the two. Not at all there, because that ministry of that came through Moses brought condemnation and it couldn't bring about the righteousness that was required in that. And it came with the glory. How much more glorious is the gospel, where the righteousness of Christ is revealed, where the righteousness of God is revealed in His Son Jesus, and we have been imputed that righteousness there. How much more glorious. See, can you see yourself? Can we see ourselves now in this incredible truth of how God sees us? Can we see this glory of God that's inside of us? Can we see this glory of God that's within every believer? This incredible, everlasting glory. And then he carries on over there and he says, you see, we're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull to this day. The same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. That's why Christ is the author who writes on our hearts. The old covenant kept a veil on the hearts. God's not writing on the veil. That veil has to be removed. It's only in Christ that that veil, that covering of the heart, is removed. Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks about that. Let me just read Ezekiel 36 quickly. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone, that's a veil, and give you a heart of flesh, that's a new heart. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Now you'll be living from the inside out. It's no longer looking at the Ten Commandments and saying, okay, now I've got to obey those. Now it's in our hearts and we're living in obedience. We're living in oneness with God. It's a natural reality to be in, because, and we'll deal with that next Sunday, I think, understanding a bit more of the nature of sin and the contrast between the old and the new, and knowing what he has done, freeing us from that, from that which prevented us from loving God. And he goes on there, then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. See, that's prophetic to this newness of life, that we're no longer in that realm, that land of Adam. We're now in the realm of Christ, the land of Christ. We're in the kingdom of God. That's this new place that we're living in there. And that's what he's doing. And then as I conclude, remember, we're going to come back to this quite a lot now as we go into this. As we conclude, let me just read over here. Because only in Christ is this veil taken away. Only in Jesus. Okay? So now Jesus is the author of our hearts. He writes his story on our hearts because there's no longer a veil. That separation, that sinful hardening of the heart, that sin that's the veil over there, that's all been removed in the death of Jesus. The consequence of that, you and I have died to that. Christ died to that so that we can live. So now he can write on our hearts. And he has a heart, our hearts, where he can write on. And then he says over there, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers all their hearts. Every believer, he's speaking to believers, every believer that is still trying to live a righteous life based on what they read from the outside and trying to adjust and to prove their life based on what they're reading from the outside, this is their reality. There's no revelation there. They don't understand. They're not living in the reality of Christ writing on their hearts. The Spirit of God writing on our hearts, life. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, many believers, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Simply the revelation of Christ Jesus. In him alone, simple faith in him, nothing more, nothing less, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so Jesus, the author of our hearts, he is now writing on our hearts this incredible truth. This incredible truth of us being transformed. This is the freedom that you and I are living in day after day, stepping into deeper, deeper dimensions and depths of this freedom that's found in Christ Jesus. This image transformed into his image, because that's what Jesus is writing, with ever increasing glory. This is the fullness of God that we spoke about early on, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Guys, may we just simply believe, and may we just get such a breakthrough that our limitations were buried with Jesus. May we just say, Lord, write your story on my heart. and by your grace, I no longer am a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. By your grace, I'm in a realm where the Spirit, the law of the Spirit gives life, so that now I'm able to bear fruit. What is the fruit we looked at early on? This is part of the fruit, where whatever Jesus is writing on your heart and my heart, whatever Jesus is writing on the heart of the of those in his body, his family, whatever that is, we live that out. That's the fruit that we're looking at right now. That fruit is incredible. And that's beyond our imagination. That's beyond our understanding. And that's why we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, so that he writes on our hearts, we live it out in total yieldedness to him. That's why not only are we, do we have we moved into the realm of the Spirit, into this newness of life, not only do we live by the Spirit, but now we keep in step of the Holy Spirit. And the keeping in step of the Holy Spirit, we're responding from what he has written on our hearts. We're living it out from the inside out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the newness of life that you and I are moving more and more. And so, guys, you're going to go into many wow moments, because you're going to see, wow, God, these, I placed limitations on my own life. I've been living this and it's been boxing me in. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Because you realize, Lord, you're writing letters on my heart. I'm your letter. And what your story is, I say, yes, I want to tell your story while I'm still living on this planet Earth. And you will find a freedom. You will find a life that is beyond imagination. You will find a joy. You will find so much. You'll be released from so much stuff that has kept us captive in our mindsets. And we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we just simply believe and start to meditate on this. As we have communion this morning, we're celebrating the good news that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're celebrating our Lord Jesus. We're celebrating the fact that he's the author, and he writes beautiful stories on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Not the letter that kills, but the letter that gives life. And we're living in life, the abundant life. We're living in the life, the eternal life. We're living in the realm of the Spirit. And it's all about life, life, life. That's our place. That's where we live. And so may it just open up more and more as we just continue that. So let's have communion as we just meditate and celebrate the incredible goodness of God. Amen. Oh. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, the Holy Spirit writing on our hearts. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.